Okay. Welcome back to episode 2 of Total Nonstop Ball. How are you today, Rich? You well?
Very well. Very, very well. Just a relaxing day so far. Just enjoying this wonderful coldness.
It's fantastic, right? It's great. We're having loads of snow down here as well. But I don't know if you guys know much about the UK currently, but we've just hit over 100,000 deaths.
Oh my goodness. COVID.
Yeah. How many are you guys on at the moment?
God, it's a lot more than that. I want to say it's like, oh God, maybe like 200,000, maybe 300. I can't remember the number off the top of my head. But there was like 4 or 5 million, you know, cases confirmed, like in the United States. That's just outrageous to me. Like that's unbelievable. That's just people being careless.
Well, in our football teams currently in the UK, I don't know if you have the same with American football over there or any other sports, but we can still play because it counts as an elite sport. However, clubs, because the schedule is so compact currently that we can't really rearrange them. Now, we used to be able to rearrange them, but because of the season, if you can't field your squad at the moment, it's like, well, you've got to field, you know, your kids then. And our division in the Premier League, it's worth nearly 100 million if you stay in the division.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah, so obviously you're wanting them games to, you know, get rearranged, but there's nothing you can do there. What's it like over there for elite sport? Do they just carry on like us, or...?
Oh, yeah, let's just keep it rolling, you know. Oops, sorry.
It's all right.
Yep. No, but like, so like, you guys can't even the facility. Like, you guys can't even practice or anything like that. So
yeah, well, they can practice as such, but only to a certain level. So they go to the training grounds. You've got like 2 weeks clear test before you can enter. So when someone gets like transferred into the club, they have to be 2 weeks clear.
Right.
Then they're allowed.
They have to quarantine for that.
Yeah, it's well, unlike the rest of Europe, we've handled it so badly over here. You know, we've kind of been in and out a bit of lockdown. So instead of committing to lockdown or not committing to it, we've done both. If that makes sense. So we're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just really crazy, like how quickly like this whole thing like happened with COVID and whatnot. Like, it's just like, it's funny because like you bring up the COVID because I was just watching last year's Royal Rumble and thinking in my head, oh my goodness, that was in 2020. We actually had crowds in 2020. I don't remember being in 2020 and having crowds, but no, last year's Royal Rumble had
70,000
people.
It's crazy. WrestleMania didn't go ahead though, did it? Well, it went ahead, but not in the real
right. Way. WrestleMania was just in their performance center.
Yeah, wow. They could be with AEW, no... didn't they? Do you remember? And they started getting fans in and stuff, you know, talent and everything.
Yeah, they did actually. I think AEW was on the ball first with actually having physical people in their crowd, even though it was, you know, just wrestlers that weren't, you know, wrestling that day. Mm. But the fact that there was, you know, physical people was a nice change of pace.
I can't imagine they probably have got the funds to do some part to fund the dome. Well, why? Why would you bother? You know, at this stage as well, you've already committed so much to it, and I don't think fans will be allowed in for a long time. You know.
Well, I mean, you got to think fans are allowed to go like in NXT. Like, if you notice the Capitol Wrestling Center, the fans that are on, you know, at ringside, those are actual fans, and they're not wrestlers. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But But I'm, if I had to guess on the amount of fans in there, there probably isn't anywhere more than like 50 people.
Well, it makes such a huge difference, right?
It does. It really does. I just hate the idea that like that there's crowd noise when there's no crowd. Like I'm the type of like if I'm going to watch a show that there is no crowd, yeah. I don't want to hear a crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I watch the PBA, the Tempe Professional Bowlers Association.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they recently started up with shows last year as well. And, of course, they have no fans. And it's just weird hearing all the piped-in crowd noise whenever somebody got a strike. And it's just like, oh, there's no fans. It's just, it's awkward. It's, to me, it's just very awkward. I would much rather hear nothing than hearing fake noise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like SmackDown Raw, you know, where they do the fake crowd noise, and oh, it's just cringe, isn't it? You know? And I feel that that's how they actually want the product to be. You know, if they could do like the audience like going cheer now or boo now, it would solve all their problems. You know,
WWE has that right in their hands. They can control what type of crowd noise they want to hear.
They must absolutely love it currently. You know,
they probably was like, "Oh, Goldberg's going to get cheered."
Quick, do the Goldberg chant. Yeah, they'll be doing that at home, I'm sure. You know, if you like my partner, she'll be like, "Shut up, stop screaming down there." So we all know it's not Quincy C4's PC. We definitely know it's not. You know, it's I'm so adamant. Anyway, I listened to you. I started watching a bit of AEW today.
Okay, and what'd you think?
I'm absolutely obsessed with what's his name, Luchasaurus. I think he's fantastic. I was going to ask you about this because people who don't listen, right? This is a guy who's 7 foot, I believe, and
he's pretty tall. He's either 7 feet or just under seven feet. But
they'll probably list him at 9 foot if he can get away with it. But he's a tall guy, and he's currently in a program with what's their AEW name? Wild and Dasher. You know, the Revival.
Oh yeah, they're known as FTR, Dax and. Oh goodness! Oh man, I'm drawing a blank. But they're known as FTR.
Yeah, yeah.
In WWE, they were the Revival. Yeah.
So,
but it's
they're currently doing a program on it, and it's. I want to know what his origins are. I need to dive more into this. You know, what's Luchasaurus? Because I was thinking, how do you get a gimmick? Because I was marking out for. I thought it's great. You know, a dinosaur. It's also Lucha. I mean, you've got to have something special to even think about pulling that off.
I believe the character actually was introduced during Lucha Underground during like the last season they had. And I guess the popularity from that generated buzz for him to get signed by AEW.
To be a dinosaur and a wrestler.
That's exactly what it is. It's wrestling. It doesn't have to make sense, but it does make sense in a weird way.
I was listening to you. I was listening to you before about you saying don't be like, you know, Cornette and everything, and he's got a big thing of funny doesn't draw money, but I don't necessarily think that's true. I mean, you've got to look at
if that's the case. Why was Santino Marella employed by WWE for almost
Cornette
a decade?
Sack him or try to sack him or you know? No. That's what happened. Didn't Cornette get sacked for slapping him or something? Santino, because he was laughing.
Yeah, he. So it's funny. I actually do know the story. It's so when. WWE had before NXT they had OVW as their training facility and whatnot, and Santino Marella was one of the FCW wrestlers or OVW wrestlers, and the Boogeyman, remember him?
I don't get him. I don't get why he's a legend. Can you explain to me why he's a legend before we proceed? Because wasn't he just on he wasn't a non-stayer, was he? He's not. I don't understand how he's on a legend contract. I don't get it, because he was only in WWE for a bit, wasn't he?
Yeah, he wasn't in there for too long, but to answer your question why he's a legend, I can't give you an answer.
I'll let you carry on. He's probably got a massive tangent about the Boogeyman. But yeah, go on.
But anyway, so the Boogeyman was making, I want to say, his debut in OVW, and one of the things that, you know, he was going to do was like scare the fans. Well, some of the wrestlers were, you know, playing a part of the fans. And Santino had, I believe, his child with him, either his son or his daughter. I'm not sure what he has, you know, for kids, but he had a child with him, and Boogeyman was going to, you know, scare, you know, his child. But so when that happened, you see Santino Marella in the, like, putting his hand over his mouth and laughing. And that's what made Jim Cornette furious, because he didn't play the part of being scary. He thought he ruined the entire gimmick of the Boogeyman, the whole nine and everything. He just completely disrespected the business, according to Jim Cornette, by laughing.
Vince kind of has the same principles as well, doesn't he? And they had London get sacked for laughing when Vince was going to the car.
Oh, yeah, with Paul London. I think that was Paul London who was laughing. Yeah, it was Paul London who was just smiling. He had the biggest grin across his face, and everybody in the whole hallway was just sad. And you just see jolly old Paul London with the biggest grin across his face.
Apparently, he did loads of takes.
I think he did
loads of takes of that. He said they did like 5 to 6 takes, and each take, he was still laughing, and nobody told him off. So we just carried on doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's believable to me. I can't. The fact that nobody even said, you know, hey, Paul, don't smile during this. You know, after 5 or 6 times of running it through rehearsing, nobody told him. So, in a way, why would he stop smiling if nobody told him to stop smiling?
You know, I've always wondered this as well, right? So when they get the cars and everything, and they smash the limos up and stuff, and them limos must have an engine in for them to go to the actual, you know, say the stage area. They've got to have it, and then they rip it, because they can't be proper limos. They can't be, you know, a 50,000 pound limo, and they're just like, just destroy it. Or do you think that they do that?
Well, I do remember watching a shoot interview with Alberto Del Rio. You remember him, right? Though. Yeah, he's a big piece of trash. But anyway, he was saying in this interview he was doing for Kayfabe Commentaries, and he said that every car that, you know, he drove on TV, Vince bought, like, he either rented the car for a few days, but Vince purchased, like, or rented each of the cars that he drove, that Alberto Del Rio drove on TV every week. So, I think Vince is opening up his checkbook and just getting whatever he needs
That's
for his show.
Crazy. I mean, I understand their assets and everything as the company value, but you've got to think how many, like, cars and stuff they must have. You know, they must have so much random.
Well, you got to think, you got a billionaire that's behind them, so it's not like money's an option for anything out of the ordinary.
Well,
you say
money's not an option, but this is a company. Well, I think it's just a corporate company. I don't think it should necessarily be wrestlers. I think all companies do it, where they've employed so many staff and they all have to justify their wages, and they're going, well, we're spending $500,000 on trucks each year and we keep getting Brock Lesnar, so we know we need to cut the roster down, you know, and that's why you had every single year you'll have people being released no matter what. I think Eric Rowan's right. Gone now, hasn't he? I believe I didn't even know he did go.
Yeah, he was a part. I believe he was a part of like all that big mass release of wrestlers that involved Rusev, Gallows and Anderson, and a bunch of other wrestlers. Jesus. It was right after WrestleMania that they let them go, because it couldn't have been no longer than 2 weeks after WrestleMania last year that a bunch of people got released.
Got bad for Rusev,
and it's crazy that
I know we were talking yesterday about someone who was going to push Cesaro. That was it. We talked about Cesaro, about being pushed to the top. Talked about someone who should have been future champion, and that's Rusev. Is it Miro now? Miro.
Yeah, Miro. He's over on AEW as Miro. He's the best man.
I looked at that gimmick and I was like, what is this? There's a...
Maybe you can educate me real quick on a couple of the wrestlers on the UK side of things. Like right now, Miro is partnered up with Kip Sabian, and I've never heard of him up until AEW. Do you mind giving me a little bit of a brief history about like what he's done previous to AEW?
Not just him, but there's a huge catalogue of people, because at the same time we have something called ITV Sports. You must have heard about it. So yeah, we had loads of talent come over, and it was trash. It was bad. I challenge you to watch one episode. If you can get through one episode, and the thing is, it could have been really good, but because they've got people who's probably never watched a TV show and only TV shows on there, you know, they've done it as if it's something like an action movie, etc. So there's cameras moving every 6 seconds, like it's on the Kardashians or something, you know.
So WWE cuts, like
more,
how quickly they switch cam.
You know when something's overproduced, but it's also really cheap? It looks like a WWE movie. That's the best way I can say. But it's really cheap, but it's overproduced. That's what ITV World of Sports was. But there's so much talent coming in. You know, Jack Sabre Jr., just everybody.
Oh, he's amazing. Oh, Zack Sabre Jr., he's so good. He's so... That's a guy who I really wish could either come to WWE or to AEW.
You know,
he was in the Cruiserweight Classic. He actually went. Yeah. He made it to the semifinals, but you know he wasn't going to sign with WWE, so that's where they ended it. And it was it's the best. That's the one thing that, you know, we'll sit here and bash WWE a lot, but we have to give them some credit as well. WWE knows how to put on a good tournament. Like, let's be honest here.
Yeah.
I think the Cruiserweight Classic is just one of the examples.
If you want a little story in a one-off tournament, you're probably right. There's no one else who does it better than them. Even from King of the Ring, you know, you look at...
King of the Rings back in the day were so great. It was just a great concept that worked. You know,
single year though, it loses that nostalgia, that, you know, that the power feeling. It's the same reason I think that Survivor Series doesn't really work anymore, because whilst they're trying to sort all the ratings out for SmackDown and Raw, they're switching, you know, superstars from brand to brand. And then you go, it's once a year when they both face each other. They've never been in fights before, you know. And you think, well, yeah, they have actually. They've been in fights, you know. I don't get it. Yeah.
So, right. 15 years ago when the brand split, you know, first happened. Yeah, sure. That made total sense, you know, because, you know, nobody else was, you know, there. Was there, but it's been the same, like you said, the same thing for so long now. It's lost its magic.
When WCW went out of business, they create their own competition by going SmackDown versus Raw, and they thought, What a great idea that is.
Right.
Really good idea.
It was.
As well, be your stars.
To be,
you know. Well, I say half the work. Do you know, do you realize how much these wrestlers go on the road?
Oh, yeah, they're on the, well, they were on the road anywhere between to 6 days a week. Back in the day, I think now before COVID hit, they were down to like 4 days a week. I think that's not including like pay-per-views and whatnot.
Well, so they have to pay for like their own travel, food, you know, hotels.
That part is just mind-blowing to me, because how are, you know, the wrestlers, they don't have health insurance through WWE, but in WWE's defense, and they have a wonderful, you know, training facility and medical team that will take care of all of their medical costs and whatnot, and everything that they need, they'll take care of it. They don't have to pay a dime out of their pocket. But it's just mind-blowing to me that they're considered independent contractors, but they can't be independent.
Welcome to Zero Hour Contracts in the UK. That's literally the same thing.
It's insane, right?
You've got to pay for your own travel, but you can't compete somewhere else. And talking about, just randomly, talk about hokey crap. Who did I see? The Good Brothers and the Young Bucks and Kenny.
Yeah, Bullet Club, baby.
It's a great angle. But that overacting, man. I think I've been watching too much Cornette. He's just killed him for me. he's destroyed him for me. Oh, I just look at it and I think this is so hokey. You know, but his wrestling's phenomenal. I don't care what
I just like the idea that AEW is gonna partner up with TNA or Impact, whatever they're called nowadays.
It's gonna take for Impact to actually die.
And just,
I'm gonna say World War VII, because I think they could actually survive the rest of them.
They're probably gonna outlast everything. They're gonna outlast everything. Right? No, it's crazy. What's crazy is before they made public with AEW and Impact partnership, I was actually watching. I was actually watching Impact for a few weeks before. Yes, and I must say, Impact was not a bad show. It really wasn't. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe, like, I was thoroughly entertained the entire time I was watching one show. And I was like, oh, Impact's decent. It's not to the levels that they were in, like, the mid-2000s, per se. But they're a solid show with solid wrestlers. And I must say, their women's division is very, very, very loaded with talent.
Women's division.
So much.
Well, hopefully they'll focus.
Not so much. I do like some people on. I do like some of the wrestlers on the women wrestlers on AEW, like Chris Statlander. I've never heard of her until AEW, but I think she's really good. I hope to see her, you know, soon, because she got injured. I want to say the end of maybe the beginning of 2020, she got injured. I think she tore her ACL or something like that. But yeah, she's a pretty solid wrestler. Their champion, oh my God, I always mess up her pronunciation of her name. But their women's champion right now is a really good wrestler. Are you a fan of Nyla Rose?
I've only just started on AEW. Just literally because you said when I was planning this last week to have a look into which, and that's what I was saying to him. This Dark Order, why has it got 50 members in there? And he's got 7, and I'm like, well, it looks so, there's so many there.
Well, the Dark Order is slowly becoming a very popular group, and that's all because of their skits they would
Oh,
do
yeah.
on Being the Elite. I don't know if you ever watched
I haven't
if you
seen
ever
any of the
watched
skits.
that.
All I've seen is people absolutely hating on Jericho at the moment. Absolutely just swearing
Oh,
he's rubbish,
well,
he's overweight, so forth.
it's crazy because a couple weeks ago, maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, the NBA started their season again, and it ran past time for one of the games or whatever, and they were sure were showing AEW, and Chris Jericho was in the match, and all of the NBA trolls were just ripping on Jericho. This is where Chris Jericho's been, and man, Jericho got fat. And I didn't know there
Oh,
was another
wow.
WWE. And it was just like, oh man, all these people are just completely destroying him for just no reason. I mean, get it? Yeah, he might be a little overweight, but I can tell you for a
Oh,
fact he's
I
more in
tell you what
shape
his
than I
problem
am.
was. The fact that he was mainstream and his a couple of COVID breaches and his massive support for Donald Trump. It's a
Oh,
huge Trump.
really?
He's
He's a
not a
Trump
dirt. He's a
supporter?
huge Trump supporter. He's talk about the yeah. And
Wow, I
they
didn't
your
know that.
opinion changed of him already. And that's what you've
No,
got to
Jericho's
remember
still one of the
about
greatest
now.
of all time.
But yeah, his whole comments in the recent. I mean, you've got to think, someone like Cornette won't let Trump go. He just keeps going for him. And Jericho basically said to him, well, at least I'm keeping you relevant to Cornette because it wouldn't stop at him. At which point Cornette replied, well, you're still a stupid idiot, etc. It's
That's
it
like
is, I
something a
mean,
7-year-old would say.
it's one of the things where I listen to him and I think I really love what you're saying, but at the same time, I couldn't disagree more. I think if it was up to him, we'd still be wrestling in the 1980s. He's a guy who still doesn't understand the Fiend character. I mean,
Yes.
I think that character's amazing. The whole segment.
But he's also, but you got to remember, Jim Cornette is also the same person who
Oh,
gave
was he? I
New
never knew
Jack
that.
his big break. His initial. Oh, yeah. So, Jim Cornette was like,
I'm
he's
afraid
like,
so,
owner, he
yeah.
was the owner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, correct? So, before New Jack and Mustafa, the gangsters, went to ECW, they went to Smoky Mountain Wrestling before. And got their popularity and their
Right.
name through Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And Jim Cornette booked them and made they he was their they he, I believe they were the tag champions for I want to say tw twice they were tag team champions. But yes, but that same person who's saying, funny money can't draw, but he booked New Jack.
Well, and he also
Like
talked
that's
about people
something's
selling
not
as well. And I think,
Something
mate, you talk
doesn't
about
add up.
people who don't sell, you'd go around and you used to hit people with a tennis racket and they would have to sell for you. I mean, how painful is a tennis racket?
Yes.
It's not going to break your arm.
I'm pretty sure it's probably less painful than we'll say like a steel
Yeah, I
chair, but
know,
I don't
but
think it's
you know where I'm coming
painless.
from. This is, it's saying one thing and then doing the other.
Right. It's a hokey. It's a goofy thing.
And
It's a goofy aspect of it. But Jim Cornette, as a character on screen,
that's
is
what he
a
does, and you're
goofy
not supposed to
character to
like
begin
him.
with.
And
Correct.
when I was growing up, it made me appreciate the characters that you're not supposed to like. It's like when you're a kid, we all love Bret Hart, we all love them characters. And then when you get to middle age, you like Stone Cold, etc., The
Yes.
Rock. But when you get to like adulthood with the current product, I love people like The Miz, John Morrison. They're the people who can cut a promo and it makes you dislike them, and then you love the work that they do.
It's funny you bring that up It's funny that you bring that up because I was literally just talking to somebody about this the other day, about wrestlers being, you know, bad people, like being the bad guy and whatnot. And as an adult, we're able to appreciate. And the wrestler I brought up was that, you know, that basically did that for me was X-Pac.
Oh.
Yes. And I remember as a kid, like just watching X-Pac, and I'm like, I don't like this guy. He looks like a
I
dirty
think he is in real
scumbag
life as
rat.
well.
And like, but
Is it not?
actually, no. X-Pac, Sean Waltman is one of the
I
most
didn't say that.
nicest people I've had the pleasure.
Yeah.
sorry, I'm breaking down the fourth wall. But no, X-Pac, I met him once, randomly when I was younger at an independent show, and he could not have been a nicer human being. He was like engaging with conversations with people. It was just, you could tell that like he was genuinely interested in what the
Yeah.
people were talking to him about, you know? And you don't see that with a lot of people, especially in the wrestling industry. The same person who's genuinely a good person as well in the wrestling business that
Really?
I've met was Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer, he might be a very crazy, but a sweetheart of a person. From everything that I've ever read and my own personal experiences meeting him, he could not have been a
Think a
more
lot of them you
respectful
see
and a
at
gentle
WWE,
human
but
being.
you know, you think about they must have loved wrestling, you know, with all the crap that they must have gone through with not being paid and, you know, seeing show to show.
Yeah, they did
Yep.
so much to their bodies for so little pay, and it's amazing. And ECW is one of those. I hope people don't forget how
Well, when we talk
important
about God
ECW
in that
was back in the
on
day.
episode one, and we talk about how unrealistic they look, I don't want it to go back in any means back to the ECW days, where it looks like you're actually going to kill yourself by jumping off scaffolding. You know, I just want it to not even somewhere in between. I just want it to mean something. You know, can you imagine if the ECW did the dives that you see Ricochet doing today? They would have got. They wouldn't have had a career. I
I
don't
think they,
think.
yeah, they with the dives and whatnot, and with that they made, like you said, they made it
Exactly.
worth something. Like it wasn't just but like somebody like Sabu when he was always
Sabu.
diving and all that stuff. That was his character. That was how
Can
he
you tell me,
that is how he
can you
wrestled.
explain in a couple of
You know?
sentences Sabu's character? Was he? Yeah.
Oh, Sabu's character. He was just a
What was he, a thief,
homicidal
I believe?
wrestler. He was.
All right.
Well, he was. His father is the original Sheik. And the original Sheik trained obviously Sabu and Rob Van Dam. But if I had to explain Sabu's character, I don't know. I honestly don't know how to describe
And
his character other than
when
just
I was
saying
trying
it's
to
Sabu.
explain some gimmicks, they're fantastic. You know, I look at it, I just think these people had to agree to these gimmicks changes. I was listening to Hurricane Helms when he was called Shane, and he was explaining that he
Yes.
couldn't be called Shane anymore because Shane McMahon. Yeah, that's why they had to change it to Hurricane
Really?
Helms. Because you couldn't have, you know, because he thought he was going to be called Hurricane Shane, but he can't be called Shane. And George Hook.
Right. Well, I guess that makes sense too, because I guess that kind of just runs into the whole thing that Vince McMahon doesn't like to call anybody junior. Like, so for example, well, because he's a junior himself, and apparently he hates that. So if you ever notice, Rey Mysterio is just Rey Mysterio in WWE. Anywhere else, he's Rey Mysterio Jr. Same thing with Chavo Guerrero. In WWE, he was just Chavo Guerrero. But anywhere else, Chavo Guerrero Jr. So I don't know. I guess he just doesn't like the suffix of junior. I don't know. It's weird. It's so weird.
Clifford the Big Red Dog. That reminds me of Dominic.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
And Little Ray.
Yes,
Dominic, every time you see Dominic, I'm going to make you see the Big Red Dog Clifford, because he's just a giant. It just doesn't make sense.
It's funny because, like, at work, I'll throw on, you know, wrestling and whatnot, and it's you know, coworkers now, you know that I'm a big wrestling fan and whatnot. So, one of the delivery drivers at my job was watching. I think we were watching the Survivor Series when Rey Mysterio faced Brock Lesnar, and when Dominic came out. A driver was like, who's Clifford? When Clifford came out, my delivery driver was looking and was like, who's that? I was like, he looks like Rey Mysterio's dad. And I was like, no, that's Rey Mysterio's son. And when I said that, his jaw hit the floor. He's like, that's his son? He's twice the size of Rey Mysterio.
Dominic the Big Red Dog. I'd pay to watch that. What is
I'd pay so much money. I think I'd go broke.
what's his storyline is at the moment? Is he still the same?
I honestly don't know. Like I said, I haven't watched SmackDown in a few weeks, so I'm not entirely sure what's going on. I'm not really sure what's going on with, other than that. I hope so. I hope he finally got his eyeball back. What an atrocity of a match that was. I know we keep going. I know we keep going back and forth and whatnot, but that was the worst, I think, of 2020.
There's been a lot of
was
stuff
the eye for an eye match.
It's so much. What?
Like, I remember, because I hang out with one of my friends who's, like, a really big... He's really into, like, gaming and whatnot. And he grew up watching a little bit of wrestling, and he knows that I'm a big fan. And every now and then, we'll sit down and watch a couple matches and whatnot. And I kept telling him, dude, we gotta watch this match. He's like, he doesn't really know a lot about the current product, but he knows some people. And he's like, Seth Rollins. And I told him Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio are going to have a match. He's like, oh, okay, that's cool. What kind of match? And I was like, an eye for an eye. He's like, what the hell does that mean? Basically, and I told him, like, first one who loses an eye loses. And he's like, are you for real? They're actually going to do that? I'm like, would you want to watch it? And he's like, fuck yeah, I would. And then we watched it, and after all that happened, I looked at him, and I was all like,
worth it,
I'm so sorry we had to watch that. And he was like, yeah, that wasn't... He was like, yeah, that wasn't very good. That was not very good at all.
You know, I don't think there's anything worse than that. You know? Exactly.
Right, especially to a non-wrestling fan that's like... It's like... because I've also gotten lucky and I've shown him a couple other matches from either, like, you know, random pay-per-views or NXT or anything like that. I remember showing another friend, you bring up Ricochet, I showed another friend of mine because I remember he came by, my more buddy came by, we were gonna have a couple drinks, just, you know, shoot the shit with each other and talk. And I had a match between, it was an NXT TakeOver match with Ricochet and Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they were going for the North American title at the time. And this other friend of mine, who's not a wrestling fan at all, you know, he knows like Attitude Era guys. But he knew Rey Mysterio as well. And he asked, I told him about Ricochet. This is the most athletic wrestler I think I've ever seen, ever. And he was like, can you compare him to Rey Mysterio? I'm like, he's way more athletic than Rey Mysterio. And he was like, okay, I'll check it out. So we watched that match, and he was just dumbfounded by the athleticism of Ricochet. And he was like, I've never seen anybody do half the amount of stunts and flips that Ricochet did. And see, I like doing stuff like that personally. I like showing non-wrestling fans matches. And if they get the satisfaction of actually enjoying it, watch, that makes me feel so good.
Someone who's not a wrestling fan, you have to show one clip of wrestling. It's always The Undertaker for Mankind off, right? I mean, there's...
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's probably the most famous
second one. Apart from him falling through the cage, it's probably like, the second. Have you watched that match again recently? Do you have like as an adult, have you watched it? Yeah, it's very short. Very short.
The Hell in a Cell match with Foley and Taker? It's very short, but it's the pausing of, you know, Mick Foley, you know, that's longer than the actual match itself.
Crazy.
But
did he throw him off?
What's that?
And then he puts him through, and then he climbs down. But then he does the spot with the thumbtacks as well.
Right. It's amazing to me that Foley was able to just power through all of that. I don't understand how he did it to this day.
Bischoff, when he says he's literally just a human stunt machine, you know, it's like, I didn't really want him on WCW. I could see he basically wanted to kill himself, you know, doing all this crazy ass stuff, and then he does stuff like that, and that's when they were trying to rip him, if you remember, by going, oh, well, you know, he's going to win the title. That put bums in seat. And...
Mm-hmm. Right. Tony Schiavone was the one who said that, correct?
He didn't get the orders to say it, you know. He wouldn't have come up and said something like that.
Right, I would hope not. I think Tony's a very intelligent, you know, person. I don't think he would do that out of his own power.
Well,
you know, like, I'm sure somebody above him as well was telling him to say that.
In his ear. I remember seeing a clip and he goes, yes or no, I've already said that 6 or 7 times tonight. Okay, I'll say it again.
Oh, I think that was him like trying to push the network, like the WWE, like the whole 999. I think he was probably getting fed up with that. And since you brought up Michael Cole, can I say something very controversial?
Yeah, go on. Wow.
Not only am I going to say he's good,
great.
He's great.
Go on.
And I will tell you, why. Do you remember Michael Cole when he was commentating SmackDown with Taz?
I think it's Taz. I think the playoff.
How good did he sound during that era?
I think it's hard to get a play-by-play man. It sounds. I mean, who's the? Oh, I can't think of him. Help me out here. Yeah, in NXT.
Who's the play-by-play now?
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of, right?
It was
not before that.
Oh, it's Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett.
Nope. Keep going.
Oh, Nigel McGuinness.
He came up to the main roster. Roster.
Before that?
Roster. Fallen out with JBL, didn't he? There we go, Mauro Ranallo. Yeah, I think he.
Mauro Ranallo. Oh, he's the greatest. He's amazing.
He is the best. I would disagree and say you need something current and fresh. And someone like, you know, that.
And my response to that is watch NXT the UK tournament when he did commentating with Nigel McGuinness, and you can hear the difference when Michael Cole is not micromanaged and told what to say. When you just let Michael Cole. Did you remember watching the first UK tournament, correct? I suggest you to go back and watch literally any match. Actually, go back and watch the finals, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Go back and watch that match and just listen for Michael Cole's commentary. It is so different from what you hear from him on a weekly basis on SmackDown today or on Raw back in the day. He's so intense. He's very intrigued and enthused. He sounds so different and he sounds so much better. And that's why I don't like... I get why people say that Michael Cole sucks. Believe me, I do. I understand. He sounds like a robot when he's being told what to say. But when you give Mike... Yeah, he's doing his job to the best of his ability while being told what to do. You know, he's being a good employer, essentially, you know. But when you let Michael Cole out, when Vince McMahon is not in Michael Cole's ear, he's one of the best at calling matches.
You have Corey with him? Corey Graves?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, of course you have him with him.
Oh, today? Yes, he's with Corey Graves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think Samoa Joe's fantastic.
With Michael Cole? No, I do too. I think Samoa Joe's is fantastic as a commentator as well. I think Corey Graves, though, is one of the best commentators as well, currently in WWE. I think Michael Cole and Corey Graves are very... They play off of each other because I feel like they're very similar in commentary styles, per se. And to be honest, Corey Graves can work with anybody.
That commentary team
is amazing. So Raw has...
I know
Raw has Samoa Joe and Byron Saxton. There's a third commentator. I can't remember his name.
It's not him.
It's not Vic Joseph because I think he does NXT UK. I can't remember now. Oh my god, this is terrible. But the play-by-play guys are Byron Saxton and Samoa Joe.
It's crazy though how
Samoa Joe I think is very good as commentator.
Back in the day, Jay on the King or Taz and Michael. Oh,
well, you guys, right? Or any combination of that? Yeah, no, I understand, and I watch Raw regularly,
commentator. Yesterday, that Kevin Owens doesn't use the pop-up power bomb. But yeah, I just rewatched SmackDown. I'm just seeing that he used that to put Roman Reigns to a table with it. He used a pop-up power bomb.
Yeah, I think he uses the power bomb more through tables than actually as like as a move in the ring. You know what I mean? I'm actually looking up. I'm actually going to look up right now and see if I. Yeah, because this is kind of
it's gonna be so annoying.
It's bothering me so much.
I don't know. I thought Brian Tyson wasn't in it anymore. I don't know why I thought that. I keep thinking Booker T's in it, but he was only on the pre-show. I don't know if he got released as well recently.
Booker T? I think he's just does the kickoff panels. Wow, why am I having such a hard time finding this?
Oh, wow. Can you name weird. Who does it for AEW, though? Straight away. Tom Phillips. Of course it's Tom Phillips. Of course it is.
Tom Phillips. Mini there Cole. We go. Tom Phillips. Mini That's Cole who's the Jr. Raw commentator. Mini Cole. But yes, I can name the commentary team. It's JR, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur. And then if you want to go through dark, it's Excalibur and Taz.
Oh, and here
I do too, even though he's apparently a open racist. I guess he made some very racial comments like a few years ago, and like that's why he was off commentary for a while. Oh, but I forgot you said you don't keep up with the product. But yeah, he was off commentary for, I want to say, maybe a month after all that stuff surfaced. I guess he said something like in character, but not in character at the same time. I'm not sure, but he's still a really good commentator.
So on AEW, he looks like what MVP should be now.
Uh-huh.
I think Taz is running wrestlers.
Really?
No matter what position you put him in, he'll do great. Put him on commentary, he'll be great. Put him as a manager, he's fantastic. You know, I think no matter what you do with Taz, depending
you like
on
him as
what
a manager?
You give him to work with. But I don't think he's given a script. Oh, I don't believe he is to work with. Yeah,
I feel like he's given bullet points and like topics to, you know, talk about, and then he'll just use his own words to fill in the rest of the rest of the promo.
Basically, today's product, though, isn't it? Is there any more? Go on, sorry. No, I was about to say, is there any more else that we want to discuss today?
No, go ahead.
You can think of currently before we go into Rumble this Sunday, isn't it? And it's going on SmackDown.
Yes, it is. It's coming up in a couple days. Oh, I that's actually funny. I gotta record that today. I'm gonna try
what
to
time,
record
what time
that.
Does it come on
and
to you guys?
Catch it when I get off of work. It comes on at 7 p.m. for us every Friday
in the morning. Wow.
Pay-per-views are around 6, 7 o'clock at night, start time, usually. Yeah, it's nice being in America if you're a wrestling fan, if you're a WWE fan, at least.
Yeah, it's like it.
Oh, because it's really close to your time, right? But see, I'm also the same person that would like to watch that I like watching Wrestle Kingdom live. So it's like 3 o'clock in the morning when it starts for me. So I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch this till 7 in the morning, and I'm not gonna get any sleep.
Well, that's why there's so many crazy at the moment.
Jeez, how do you do it? Well, that's why I think the network is probably great for somebody like you, for you guys, for anybody who's a fan in the UK, because you can literally watch it whenever you want.
The problem is with spoilers.
Whenever it's convenient for you, after it airs, obviously.
Yeah.
Does that still bother you? Because I'm the type of person, if I were to find out something, I will still watch it.
I'm totally opposite. I put my phone
and see if the match or toilet, per se, is good. You know what I mean? Now, I try to avoid spoilers. I really do. I really try to avoid them. But if there's no way around it, then there's no way around it. I'm still going to watch it, even though I know what's going to happen, per se. But it's not going to ruin
my hand
intrigue one way or another.
Screen. Did not see the pictures. I can't see it. And then eventually I'll click it.
You're like, nope, I can't see that. Nope, I didn't see it yet.
I'm like, oh, God damn it. You know, it's, yeah. But on that note, we'll wrap this up for another show on episode 2. And any final words, Mr. Richard, going into tonight?
I would actually would like to say thank you once again for having me on, and it's always a pleasure. And I would also, real quickly, how about we each leave each other with something to watch? So since you brought up earlier about a world of sports, wrestling, right? Is that what it's called? Yeah. ITV Sports. Okay, I gotta remember that. ITV Sports. I will do something. I will give you something as well. I want you to watch
MLW.
We'll say the latest episode of MLW. It's probably enjoyable, and see how you enjoy it.
I think you're gonna struggle to get to the full episode.
You know what? I like to see madness. I like to see some carnage. I think I can get through one.
I feel like a
episode.
Bad friend doing this, but you'll enjoy it. You'll love it. You'll love it. You'll love it. Till tomorrow, my friend. Take care.
Till tomorrow, my friend.